Welcome back. Hello, friend. Lane Kennedy here. This is Coming Home, a podcast that invites you to nurture your soul. I hope that I am able to bring you wonderful conversations with others in the world about bringing you home to yourself. And today, I have another wonderful guide, teacher, guest, and we're going to get into talking about meditation, straight up meditation. I'm going to waver off the path of yoga nidra, you guys. Bom, bom, bom. And I love the wonderful world of meditation because all of us are here trying to make a better place. You know, like there's no weirdness, which I love about this industry. And today we're going to talk to Georgie. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you, Lane.
Sorry. All of a sudden I have a bug in my throat and I have no water here, of course. So Georgie.
Yes.
How are you? Are you good?
We're good.
Okay. We're good. So I found Georgie through, Insight Timer. And you know, I've talked about Insight Timer before. It's a wonderful free app that you can find in the App Store. And there's also a paid subscription. I do not get paid for saying this. but I found Georgie over there, and she's actually out of the UK, which is one more reason to just love her, because when you hear her experience and what's going on with her, you're going to love her even more. So Georgie, let's start this conversation off with just sharing a little bit about your background and how you found your way to meditation.
Sure. So I was lucky enough to find meditation when I was really young. My eldest sister was a yoga teacher. So when I was 8 years old, she taught me how to meditate.
What?
So I was one of those really lucky kids.
That's super cool.
Yeah. So I meditated when I was young, and then I lost it through the teenage years and came back in my early 20s. And then in the last 7-8 years, began to take it much more seriously. And 4 years ago, I made it my full-time job to teach corporate meditation.
Wow. I mean, okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's back it up. 4 years ago. What made you decide to just bring it to the corporate world? Like how did you get there?
Okay. So I was working at the time in a large German automotive company, as a sales manager for the Audi brand, here in Ireland. And it was a very kind of performance driven sales role. And I didn't suffer stress, but I could see people around me that it was really impacting. And when I say I didn't suffer stress, I think I probably internally did, but just not, I didn't show it on the outside. I had my own practices and techniques. And just through certain different life situations and circumstances that came up, I seen what the corporate world really needed.
Oh,
and there wasn't a lot of people doing it. And I just felt really compelled to do that.
So how did they like accept you with open arms?
No, absolutely not. So it was very, very scary. So I left, you know, a well-paid corporate job, a company car, all of the benefits, to decide to move forward, not really knowing what I was doing, not knowing, you know, what my USP was, like not knowing how I was exactly going to make money, but I had something calling me in my heart that said, look, you have to do this. And people say, don't leave your well-paid job and start up your business until you know that you have a kind of a profit plan, and you have boundaries there, safety net, all that kind of thing. And I was just so compelled to do it. I literally couldn't not. So it wasn't a choice for me. I had to go and do it and try.
So I hope you guys just heard that. She said, I didn't have a choice. Right? Like, I didn't have a choice. And I feel like that's something that happens to a lot of us who find our way to mindfulness, meditation, stillness. It's this breaking point within. And you left everything.
Yes.
That is like heroic.
I don't know. Heroic, possibly stupid. I don't know. But when I look back, I don't have any regrets. And, you know, maybe I could have done things a little bit differently. I could have played it a little bit safer. Right. But I have not applied for one job. I haven't even given it thought through the tough days and the good days. The good days outweigh the hard days in entrepreneurship. They really do for me at the moment. So
it's so stunning to me that, okay, you're like me. You did not find yourself. Okay, let me back up for a minute. A lot of meditation teachers find the practice through yoga, right? And they go on these journeys and these escapades, and they're sitting in an ashram, and you know, and you're like me. We didn't find it like that. No. I didn't find it by moving to the other side of the world and following the robes, right? Sure. I found it out of my heart calling me to find stillness because I was dying, right? Yeah. And so when I meet somebody like yourself, I feel so lucky because meditation has these, you know, there's like a, because we're in the corporate world, because I go in the corporate world as well. Mm-hmm. Last week I was at the controller's office, 80 technology people sitting out there, and they're like, arms are crossed, head looking down. And I say, so who meditates here? Mm-hmm. One hand out of 80, right? And I said, well, what do you think about meditation? And they're just like, and I'm like, do you think robes? And they're like, mm-hmm. Do you think chanting? And they're like, mm-hmm. Right? Like there's this ideas of what meditation looks like. And so I love so much when people like yourself rise up and say, no, it's not like that. It's not like that. Anybody can find this practice.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anytime, anywhere. I mean, you left a company car, for God's sake. Like, who does that? Because there was something calling within you to find and then to share this practice. So as a result of sharing this practice, you know, like what's uncovered, what's unraveled over the last couple of years?
Yeah, sure. So I come up against that all the time, like in the same situation where I walk into a room and when it comes to the point where we talk about meditation, there's one or two people in the room that currently have a practice. Uh-huh. But I think what I've found, what's unraveled over the last few years is the need for it. I think yes. People are waking up to the fact that we need a little bit more space in our mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm not preachy about meditation. I teach leadership. So, but it's mindful based leadership. So mm-hmm. It's finding ways to increase focus, increase productivity, increase creativity. Yeah. And I think we all know that technology is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. It's not going to slow down. It's going to get worse. Mm-hmm. So we as humans need to find ways to find space. And meditation is a fantastic way. It's not the only way, but it's a fantastic way. And it's actually, you know, it's pretty simple. We're not going to become enlightened in 10 minutes, but in 10 minutes, if we sit every day, we will feel better. And that's, you know, it's a fact, and it's been proven, thankfully, over the last few years. The research has come around, which is fantastic. I know you're into neuroscience as well. So it's great that there's guys working in labs and they're proving these things that we know through our practice. Mm-hmm. And now we have it in black and white for people, for the skeptics.
There's so many skeptics. my husband's a skeptic completely, you know, like, and I can show him the science and he's still like,
It's like, experiential.
Yes.
You have to get if you can get them to sit, he'll get it.
It is all about the experience.
Yeah, for sure.
And I love that you just said meditation is only, there's one, like that's one way to find the quiet, right? Meditation. And it is experiential. So I would love to hear some of the ways that you help these leaders, right? Because there are so many ways to invite stillness. So what are some of your tricks?
So I suppose it's about looking at what's happening day to day. And there's never a one size fits all for people, but there are things that work for everybody. So we are very unique, but the practices don't necessarily have to be. I would say there's definitely a lot of practices around communication that we can use during meetings. We can use in a one-to-one situation, and we can practice it at home with our family. It doesn't necessarily need to be in the office. And one of the simple things would be around mindful listening, whereby we show up when somebody else is talking and we really listen, and we're not listening to respond, we're listening to hear. And it's like just a little practice of, for 30 seconds, stop talking and listen. So that would be one thing, and it's really powerful when you actually get someone to kind of role play it out and do it with somebody that they might have a bias towards, a negative bias, and they actually come back week on week to me and say, do you know what? I shouldn't have judged that person like that. She actually had something really interesting to say when I stopped. So,
okay. I do an exercise, because I do a seven week or an 8 week, depends on the months, how they lay out. And I do a mindful listening exercise with people, and it's mind blowing. It's like people have forgotten to listen.
Yeah.
Right?
We're so busy. Yeah.
I'm like blown away by this, because for me, this is so elemental, sure, but other people forget it. Uh-oh, what's happening over here? Okay. So mindful listening is one really great tool. And where do I want to go from here? When you're using these tools, are they excited about these activities that you're giving them, allowing them?
You know what, Lane? A lot of this stuff can be really basic. So when you're telling somebody, we're going to do a mindful listening exercise here for 2 minutes, you know, they don't get really excited about it. But the excitement comes in the actual action, in taking the action and then in noticing the response.
Right.
That's where we get the gold. So they're simple, basic techniques like meditation. It's simple, but actually if you do it, it can be so powerful. So it's like that with these techniques, that, you know, it's back to basics. But we're so busy and we've so much going on that we forget the basics. So I don't think they get excited. I'm not going to blow my own drum, but I think they're probably looking at me like, is she serious? Is that what she wants us to do? But when they come back in the next week and they've done these practices with their colleagues or with their family or, you know, with their wife, they come back in and then they're excited. And they say, you know, we have a little aha moment, and hopefully we practice and practice and practice, and then it creates a behavior change. So,
and that behavior change is not overnight. Like sometimes I feel like people come in and they're like, okay, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to start practicing mindfulness, and everything's going to get better in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing gets worse before it gets better.
Right?
Yeah.
It takes time. Right. Everything takes time. Oh God. How did you go to school to become a mindful leader? Did you go to school? Like, what was your kind of background into this?
I think I'm probably a bit of a course junkie. Always learning. So I've studied positive psychology. I've done a master's in applied positive psychology. I've gone to India and I studied under the Dalai Lama. With several other people, but I've gone to his teachings, Thich Nhat Hanh over in France. I've sat with his teachings and I've done like different things. I've done the search inside yourself from Google. And I kind of cherry picked all of the bits that I love and that I find beneficial and created my own programs from them. But I'm definitely a lifelong learner. But I don't think there's a one size fits all when it comes to mindfulness. We've recently developed a mindfulness master's here in Ireland, and it's very expensive. It's one of the universities. And in a year, you can become a master. You can have an MSc in mindfulness. And that's not on my agenda to do. I think that it's a lifelong learning to develop these tools. And I'm still a beginner. And I'm sure I will be for the rest of this lifetime. So, I don't have a one certification. For me, it does work out.
Okay. So let's talk about the Dalai Lama just for a minute. How was that? Just magical? Is he just like everything?
Yeah. Well, do you know what? It was actually more the magic that happened around it. So he's wonderful. I mean, I've read his books. I've listened to his teachings for years. Mm-hmm. But it was actually when you're there and you're surrounded by people, there's something magical in the energy that's there. Mm-hmm. Some of the poverty is quite heartbreaking, and I just found magic in other people that were around me, and the generosity that came from people that had nothing when I was in Dharamsala in his temple, and that moved me to a point where I seen in myself. You know, Westerners, we're very different from people from the East, and we've so much to learn from the spirit and generosity and kindness that lives over there. And that was more what I learned too. It's a kind of a hard thing to quantify in words, but it was huge for me just being there.
So you're bringing up a really good point, like a really awesome thing that I just want to point out about, like, we can learn all this mindfulness stuff. We can learn all this meditation stuff. But when we go into community and we have a teacher or teachers, I should say, because I've done that same kind of thing where I have several teachers, right? Like, there's something about that learning experience. It changes the game from your solo practice, your solo learning. Right. And that's what I'm hearing, is that you learned something that you didn't even expect or weren't even looking for.
Absolutely.
And then you're able to take that and share that with your clients and students and the world. Right. And I can imagine that Thich Nhat Hanh was very similar.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It was a sense of community. I spent Christmas at his monastery in outside Bordeaux, and the sisters that were there teaching, it was, you know, they were just normal women and men. And they had been lay people who then turned to, many of them were lay people who then turned into monastics, through life's tragedies or different things that happened. And what I learned from those people was really, it was more of a sense of being. Yes, we went through different techniques. We looked at reframing and forgiveness and lots of different practices, but it was so much the energy that we put out into the world. Mm-hmm. I just think we're also individually responsible for managing our own energy, and making time and space in every day to do that, to make sure our energy is okay. And if we're a little bit off, taking responsibility for that, not just blaming the world, what's going on. I mean, we're at the moment in the middle of this crazy what are we calling it, pandemic, that's going on. But I think it's important that we each look at our own individual input to that. So much is out of our control, but then again, so much is within our control.
So much is in our control. So let's talk about Search Within. How did you like that program?
So Search Inside Yourself.
Search Inside Yourself, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. It was really good. It's got a lot of emotional intelligence around it. So that was one of the key parts that drew me to that program. At the time, there wasn't a lot on emotional intelligence, and I was seeking out some more knowledge around that. Yeah, it was good. They pulled it together specifically for corporates. So lots of good, useful information.
Okay. So I bring up search yeah. inside yourself because mm-hmm. it's Google, right? It's here, San Francisco, home base. Yeah. And mm-hmm. everybody's like, there's big, it's like the thing to do.
Okay.
I've taken the first eight sessions, or mm-hmm. I don't know how they label it. And it felt so masculine to me.
Okay.
Like it's just a different take, but again, everybody needs to find mindfulness in their own manner.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Was that as profound, or did that have an impact on you like the other experiences you've had?
To be honest, no, it didn't.
No.
Definitely not. But in saying that, the people that I met at the training were fantastic. And
right.
And I think that's why we go on these courses. And then we realize, you know what, I didn't need another course, but hey, I did. I think it for me, because I work in a corporate setting, it's a very corporate-based training. There's not too many Buddhist connotations. And in my training, there are no religious connotations or spiritual. It's very much about focus and productivity. In my own personal practice, you know, I might go there, but when I'm teaching with Facebook or with a large tech company, I don't bring those things in just because we don't need to, in my view. It's you can bamboozle people with so much, you know, 6,000 years worth of, or you can go down the neuroscience route. But for me, I try to avoid both and just keep it to the basics.
Yeah.
And give people really specific tools that will help them on a day-to-day basis, because we've got so much going on.
There's so much. There's so much information. And that program, I'm not poo-pooing it at all, you guys. I'm just saying, for me, it felt very masculine. There's so much information in it. Mm-hmm. Around the emotional intelligence part. And again, a lot of people I think need to have that. And I need to have both spiritual, emotional, like I need a bunch of everything. So what does your day look like every day?
Very, very different and colorful. Today I was doing admin most of the day, which is absolute pain to me.
What is it? What are you doing? What is it? Say it again.
Administration, just, you know, emails, those kind of things. I am a real people person. I love being in training, but unfortunately that's, you know, maybe at the moment 20 to 30% of my work life is actually delivering training. The rest is admin around that. And until hopefully this year, I might be able to hire somebody to take some of that off me. But, you know, that's part of little startup land. It can be quite different. Oftentimes, I probably do one or two days of training and workshops through the week. And the rest is a combination of, you know, doing accounts, doing administration.
Yeah.
Communication and then building programs. So at the moment I'm currently right in the midst of developing some online courses. So that's a part of my day that I'm working on.
Amazing. And do you practice every day?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the techniques that I've found quite useful is TM. So transcendental mm-hmm. meditation is something that I learned about 3 years ago. And that one of the teachings in transcendental meditation is to sit twice a day for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And they say sit around 7 a.m. in the morning and then again around 4 p.m. because contrary to popular belief, meditation can actually wake you up and make you feel more focused instead of relaxed. Like yoga nidra is fantastic if you want to chill out and relax. But the type of meditation that I usually do is a focus or an awareness meditation where it actually helps switch on my brain and get me going. So I'll always do my 20 minutes. do 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes later on in the afternoon at some point.
Okay, I just have to ask. Okay, I'm just going to ask. I'm just going to ask, right? Because I actually had a conversation with somebody the other day about TM, and they got very upset about it.
Oh.
And I was like, just listening, right? Because I listen, mindful listening.
Yes.
And they said, it's a racket, Lane. And I said, meditation's not a racket. And they said, no. They want to charge $2,700 to learn the method and get a mantra from a teacher. Is this true?
To be honest, Lane, I think you could look at, I'm not a TM teacher, so no affiliation to it. You could look at anything in the same way. Yeah. I know that the SIY program is about $7,000 if you're looking in euros.
Yeah.
I know Jack Kornfield and Tara Branch have released a mindfulness course that's $7,000.
What?
$7,000. And you do, you know, every other weekend or one weekend a month or something like that. And you know, they're teaching the basics of mindfulness.
If you guys could see my face right now, my face just rocked down to the floor. My jaw just fell. I'm like, what?
Oh, you know, so but what I think is, in my humble opinion, if it's going to work for somebody and if it's going to get through and if it's going to create change in their life, and it will, then you can't put a price on that.
Yeah.
People can access information very affordably online and shouldn't feel that they have to go down that road. A lot of these programs have become very salesy, and
it's so sad to me.
I don't know. Sometimes people seem to get higher value out of things when they pay more money for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's so much psychology to pricing.
It's
a whole minefield.
Okay. I so agree with you, Georgie. So I want to close up this conversation about the TM and $2,700 and my friend who I was talking to, he's kind of a cynic. So I was like, and he's talking to me who's, I'm a meditation teacher. And I was like, okay, just try it. Just sit down and try meditation before you go down that rabbit hole. Yeah. But I agree with you 100% about investing in your practice. And I know I have I have very dear friends that do use the TM who have gone down that path, who have invested, and they love it. It's life-changing. And I love what you just said about there's no price tag to feel like if it changes somebody's life, it's worth every darn cent. Right? Yeah. Like I look at my yoga, my training, my yoga nidra, all my hours, my husband was like, oh, you spent a lot of money on that training. I'm like, every penny worth it.
Yeah.
Change my life. Right? So I absolutely agree with you on that, Georgie. And the other thing that I wanted to, I'm kind of floored at $7,000. That seems a little pricey, but I guess it's more about like, again, the community. Maybe what people are joining for the community or just saying they did it, right? The cachet. I don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's it. And like you said, you asked me, what kind of course did I do? Do I have qualifications in that?
Yeah.
And I think I've gone on these courses and many people have said to me, you know, you could be teaching on this. And I'm going, yeah, but there's still a little part of us that's vulnerable and feels like we're not good enough. So sometimes we buy into this needing another course or needing to do that. Or as a teacher, I need to have that box ticked. And I think it's different with mindfulness. Yes, it does need to be regulated, of course. You don't want somebody coming in off the street teaching people and you don't know what they're going to teach them.
Right.
But so there's somewhere in between the completely person that comes off the street and then somebody that, you know, that used to be a monk for 20 years. There's a middle ground that the teacher that just resonates with you.
Yes.
And that's what we all need to find. And hopefully we can find that within our means. Like you said, my teachings are like they're very old. I need to update them. I'll have a new course up in the next few weeks. But on Insight Timer, there's so much great content there for free. Like you said, I'm not affiliated to Insight Timer other than my teachings are up there for free. Right. But I think it's a great resource and it's totally free. I have the free
So great.
And so I use it every day.
You are creating a...
Everyone should be able to afford to...
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. You're creating... So one of the other reasons why I love you is that you are creating you have created a digital detox.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
So let's talk about that and let's wrap up our call here because I think this is so important right now. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen in this? Because I want to do it. I'm going to do it with you.
I will send it on to you. Digital mindfulness is kind of the area that I'm specializing in. And because there is such a need for it. Like we said, the world is getting faster and faster. Things are getting out of control. There's information overload everywhere. We can Google something and we self-subscribe ourselves into these completely incorrect notions. If we want to go down rabbit holes, they're there and they're plentiful. So what I'm trying to do is help people to become more mindful around technology. You can call it digital well-being, there's digital minimalism, there's all sorts of different labels for it. But basically what I want to do is make people have more intention around their time with technology.
Yes.
So there's a few steps to it. It starts off with tracking your time online, becoming really aware. And when I say online, I'm talking about all devices.
Yes. Right.
To Netflix,
mobile
phone, your laptop, every time that we're plugged into something, that's not our natural way of being. It's creating a really simple way to help us to detox from that. And then when we replug, that we're doing it intentionally, that we're actually optimizing our time, making good use of technology. And I think to do that, like, we create goals around so much in our life, and technology has kind of just slipped in as one of those things that's nearly attached to us all the time. And I want to try to change that.
I think this is such a great idea. You guys, this is the way, a digital detox. So, one thing I want to clear up is that Georgie's not from the UK. She's from Ireland. I don't know why I said that. I wasn't thinking clearly. When is this digital detox going to come out? Because we're all going to do it. So where are we going to find you?
Yeah, so it will be out on my website early in May. So my website is georgieandme.com, and all of the information will be up there. But I'll definitely include as a special for your listeners, Lane. So I'll send on all of that information to you.
Okay, you guys. So let's do this together, right? In community, when Georgie's, when this episode is live, when you're listening today, tomorrow, head on over to georgieandme.com.
Yes.
.com. And let me know that you're going to do it and we'll do it together. How about that? Bada boom, ba boom. Yeah. Georgie, awesome. It's been so good to catch up with you and to hear about your mindful path and what's been going on and how you're creating just a more peaceful place in the world. Thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you, Lane. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You guys, another wonderful moment with you. May you find something bright, light, and something so juicy to fill you up. Until next time, take good care. Thanks for listening. Make sure you grab that free app over at lanekennedy.com/newfriend and start the quiet meditation. Okay, thanks.